Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Yo! Welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for hanging out. It's much appreciated. I've been thinking a lot over the last couple of days since the news broke on what I was going to talk about when it came to Jose Abreu. And I mean, watching the way that this whole thing escalated and turned ugly for Jose Abreu, it makes me really sad because, strangely enough, he is in a category of my favorite White Sox of all time. And his credentials kind of back that up. We'll go through it in a second. But if you hadn't heard, the Astros decided that they were going to move on. And I think that as far as organizationally, I'm not sure what else they could have done than what they did. They were like, hey, maybe you just need a break. Maybe you are you injured? Or do you need a break? The fact that he took the assignment to go work on his game and took the demotion is, I think, a testament to his character. But what were they supposed to do? They weren't going to keep him in that lineup every day. It just didn't make any sense. It's kind of wild how much money they're leaving on the table. Abreu signed a 3-year, $60 million deal a year and a half ago. So that's easy math, right? There's $30 million left on his deal. And the Astros are like, hey, man, if you can find someone else to sign you, Godspeed. But we don't want you here anymore, and we will pay you to go home. So Jose Abreu has been DFA'd. Now, the Astros are not really in a competitive situation. It's kind of similar to what the Cubs are this year. At the time of recording, they're 9 games out of first place in a very competitive American League West. They got the champs in that division who are not off to a great start either. And Seattle, who's very good, that they have to deal with. They have to try and be near and climb over. Plus, there are interesting teams in the American League this year, like the American League Central. Like, those are wild card teams that we're talking about. That Royals team. At some point, I'm going to do a whole pod on the Royals because I feel like I'm the only person outside of Kansas City that's been paying attention. That Royals team is pretty good. And Bobby Witt Jr., I remember talking with some baseball people last year. And I said, you know, that guy, I think he's got like MVP candidate potential. And people kind of laughed at me. Okay. When you see him get votes this year, don't laugh. Anyhoozle, if you're the Astros, there's nothing left for you to do. You've tried to make excuses for him. You have tried to give him an opportunity to get himself right. And it just wasn't working. So he gets DFA'd. I remember telling my buddy Show, Ron Ugly down in Houston. I said, you know, because he was like, hey, man, what's up with Abreu? Like last year. He's like, what's up with that dude? I said, historically, this happens with him. He doesn't start off very well. And then around June, he starts to binge. And then you'll look up and be like, oh, look at Jose Abreu. He was very critical into what it is that we're doing. Now, Jose made me look right last year because he did get better in the second half. It wasn't much better, but he was slugging in the second half. He had 11 home runs, had 45 runs batted in the second half of the season, and was a 104 OPS plus. So a little bit better than average. And that's compared to what he was in the first half of the season last year, where he was a 73 OPS plus. So that's a significant difference. And he did the thing that I looked like a genius when I told show this. Here's his numbers in June. Abreu was 292, 311, 510 for an 821 OPS. And then in October, in September slash October, he slugged again and he had an 835 OPS. So I looked like a genius. It's like, oh, I've unlocked the code. Now I don't look like a genius anymore, because it looks like his baseball career in the pros, at least in the major leagues, I should say, are over. And it's sad. It's the crazy part about this. And I imagine I'll spend some time talking about it on the show this week. The crazy part about this is how all of this has come crumbling down. Like, from a White Sox perspective, all of those pieces of teams that people believed could do something, it's all falling apart. All of it. You got Lucas Giolito being hurt, Liam Hendricks being hurt, Tim Anderson being bad. Last I checked, Jake Berger was bad. Last I checked, Lance Lynn was bad. Let me look to make sure I'm right about Lance Lynn, because he'll have those months where he's really good and I'm not paying attention. Yeah, he's actually pretty good. He's doing all right. That whip's high, though. That whip is 1-4. Ooh, that's not going to be good. Yeah, and if you look at his last few starts, he's not been good. Anyway, all of those guys, well, not all of them, but almost all of them that have left the White Sox have gone on to have absolutely terrible experiences, baseball-wise. They may be better off. Like, I look at Lucas and Liam, and I'm like, you guys are better off. Even if you're on the struggle bus, you're better off than what's been going on with the White Sox. And I remember Jose Abreu, I remember what he said about playing for the White Sox and how people turned on him, and I hated it. I hated it because of what he had meant for, you know, a little under a decade, but what he had meant to the White Sox as an organization. This guy was an MVP. But it just illustrates, like, when things go bad, they go real bad. And just think about where you were like 2 years ago. If you were a White Sox fan, you were mad because your team finished 500. And now 2 years later, look at this. Look at this. It's bad all the way around. It really, really stinks. But we're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, I want to talk about the good and the fun of Jose Abreu's career. That's next.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I remember when Jose Abreu popped up on the scene, when people were like, hey, there's this guy that the White Sox signed out of the Cuban League. He's really good. He's very mature. And you'll know when you... you'll know when you hear him at Camelback Ranch, when you hear him in the cage. This is one of those things that you go there and you're really interested in seeing what the guy looks like. And this is back in 2014. And you're out there and you're like, oh, it actually does make a different sound when he's in the box. Because that's something that baseball people like to say. It's not always true. For some guys, it is. And Jose Abreu was one of those guys. He just looked like a grown-ass man. Sometimes you get young players and they don't, you know, they're still maturing, which is part of the conversation about Jose, that there are a lot of people who believe, I don't know if I do, I don't know, I haven't been shown enough evidence to say I believe it, that he was always older than what was projected, which, by the way, if you were looking for evidence of it, the fall off the cliff this year would support it. Like, let's say that he's not 37. Let's say that he's 39 or 40. That would explain what we're seeing from Jose Abreu at the plate. Although playing till your 30 in through your 37 season, there've been so many, like there've been a couple of outliers in that regard over the last decade in all sports. So people think that it's normal. This fall off is actually very normal for what baseball players, basketball players, football players used to be. There are still special cases, don't get me wrong, but that's the way that it used to look. But I remember going, okay, like this is a real dude that the White Sox got here. And he struggled. He struggled. You talk about some lean years. As the White Sox were trying to figure things out, you have the Robin Ventura era of the White Sox, where I'm convinced that Robin Ventura really didn't want to. You know what's funny? You haven't seen Robin Ventura in Chicago since he quit. Like, for real, for real. Robin Ventura was like, I'm out of here. And to never be heard of again, which is crazy. Because he's, you know, one of the greatest players in franchise history. But now a lot of people will associate him with being a manager of really bad baseball teams. I mean, he came in here and he did a job for them, like for real. I always liked him too, because he was very honest. In that first year, like it was okay. And then you saw, ooh, they're just going to be bad. There was a talent gap. They were still kind of working through the remnants of the competitive teams from 06, 07, 08. And they were just bad under Robin Ventura. So Pito comes in the middle of this. And it's just terrible. And then you can finally see, once the White Sox get to 2017, like things starting to turn, that the rebuilding aspect of things was starting to move in the right direction. And there he was, but he was like a metronome, man. You could always count on him. Let me go through the first few seasons of Jose Abreu's career as a White Sox. It's really good. And I know that there's the culmination of it in 2020, but that's six seasons later. Check this out. 2014, he wins Rookie of the Year. He finishes fourth in MVP voting and wins a Silver Slugger. 317, 383, 581. An OPS plus of 173. 2015, 290, 347, 502, OPS of 850, OPS plus of 135, finishes 21st in MVP voting. 2016, now remember, these are bad teams he's on. That's a fifth place team, a fourth place team, and then this is another fourth place team. 293, 353, 468, 820 OPS, 124 OPS plus. Now when things start to roll a little bit for the White Sox, 2017, 304, 354, 552, a 906 OPS. He has more total bases than any time in his career, 343, an OPS plus of 141. He finishes 14th in MVP voting. 2018, 265, 325, 473, OPS of 719, an OPS plus of 117. 2019, he drives in 123 runs. That's five out of six seasons where he drove in 100 or more. 284, 330, 503. And look at the slugging. Like the slugging is 581, 502, 468, 552, 473, 503. An OPS of 834 in 2019 and an OPS plus of 118. Shortened season, 60 games. People don't really know what to do with the numbers from 2020, but his numbers were 317, 370, 617. He picks up a Silver Slugger. He also wins the MVP. An OPS of 987, an OPS plus of 165. Even his last year with the White Sox was really good. In Jose Abreu's last season with the White Sox, 2022, he slashed 304, 378, 446 for an OPS of 824, an OPS plus of 134. He finished 17th in MVP voting, and he played 157 games. That was 2 years ago. Last year, you could see a decline. This year, he fell off a cliff. I remember that grand slam that he hit. It's a Friday night. And I remember being like, oh, crap. Or the incredible games that he had in 2020 against the Cubs. Empty ballpark. You can hear everything. I was on the phone with my best friend, Afia. And, you know, we were kind of, you know, it was the pandemic. So you're like watching the game with people, but you're doing it on the phone or FaceTiming or whatever. And I'm just laughing. And she's like, why are you laughing? I'm like, because Jose Abreu is going off. I thought that he exemplified hard work and leadership. There was this like void and vacuum after Paul Konerko retired with the White Sox. And I thought that he did a good job of filling it. And the question was always, can, if there's a player who English isn't their first language, can they lead? Can they lead a clubhouse? And I thought that Jose Abreu did as good of a job as anybody in doing that. And, you know, like that's a lot to ask. What does his second, he's a second year player, I think, when Konerko retires. And he has to kind of lead because he's the best player and he's one of the best players in the league. I got to give props to the White Sox for this. When he won MVP, he came on the score. He came on my show. And Billy Russo did the translating because we did it in, you know, we did like you would do an interview on the field with someone whose English isn't their first language. And it was great. And I tried to learn a couple of phrases so I could speak to him in Spanish just to let him know that I appreciated the fact that he met White Sox fans halfway. He's a guy that people always wanted to hear from. But if you didn't speak Spanish, there you usually didn't hear a lot from him. But I really appreciated that about him. I remember that trip to Cuba. And our good friend Sierra Santos went on that trip. She was telling me, like, if you go back and listen to, I think the interview that we did with Sierra was probably 2017, if you want to go back through the archives. And I remember her telling me the story about Abreu and Abreu not being able to really move when they went back to Cuba because people there love him. And that he was supposed to show up for an interview and it was super early in the morning and he did it and how great it was. And then there were some sad times when he was really missing his son and his son couldn't get a visa to come to the United States. And I remember that night when we found out that his son was going to be there and it was just great. It makes me really sad that this is the way that things end for him, but I don't know how you can't look at his career and say it's a success. You can't. It's been a massive success. Think about this. He is a higher WAR than Paul Konerko. It's not by much, but in far fewer years and at bats, he's been a better player than Paul Konerko. That shit's wild. Now, Paulie did almost all of his damage for the White Sox. But so did Abreu. And if you want the numbers, Abreu 30.3 WAR, Konerko 28.1. Konerko OPS plus 118, Abreu for his career 128. That's a guy who probably deserves something. I don't know if it's a statue, but when you win an MVP, I don't know how you can't. Then again, we could talk about Dick Allen, but I feel like it's just me and Megan Montemurro that are making that argument. The Dick Allen thing really pisses me off, man. Real quick, since I got the laptop out, Dick Allen was a Rookie of the Year, an MVP, and a 7-time All-Star. His career OPS is 912. His career OPS plus is 156. And he's not in the Hall of Fame. Man, they can kiss my ass. MVP for the White Sox. So, yeah, let's do a Dick Allen and a Jose Abreu statue. Let's celebrate that. You know what? That's going to be a topic on one of my next podcasts. We're going to talk about Dick Allen and him not being in the Hall of Fame. Stupid. Anywho. I wish Jose Abreu the best of luck. And let me look at his career earnings. Because remember, he's still got $30 million coming to him. And think about what that dude went through to get here from Cuba. Think about that. So he's still got another $30 million coming his way. I'm going to guess that Jose Abreu has made $130 million in his career, something like that. Let's see what Spot Rack has to say. Oh, my God. Jose has made $154 million in his career. That's a resounding success for one of my favorite players of all time. And I'm glad that we got a chance to watch that dude before it was too late. Coming here at 27 instead of at 23. And look at what he did and how hard he played and how he played all the time. How he played hurt. How he didn't want to be taken out of the lineup. How he led. It's a shame that that whole group couldn't win. It really is. And it's a shame how things are crumbling down now. I appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. Make sure you check out Sports Adjacent while it's still here. The guys made their announcement. They are done. Well, they just don't have time. But I'll get into that to you in another pod. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this pod. It's appreciated. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.